I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. So we were in Isaiah 37 for the scripture reading, and we will be in Ezekiel 37 for the message tonight. Very, very simple message tonight, and one that is applicable for us when we think about revival. So revival being obviously God bringing us back to the spiritual life that we ought to have. It is a word that is only found a couple of times in our Bible, when mostly the psalmist would speak about, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" And obviously to revive something is to bring it back to the life that it once had. Well, we need that on a consistent basis. Isn't it amazing how quickly we go back to a very dead spiritual life? Even after we have a time where we draw close to God, we deal with sin in our life, we deal with our worldliness, we deal with our coldness, and we believe that things are going well, it is very easy for us to slip back into a life that needs reviving. And really, I believe it is a daily thing that we need. But it's good for us on a regular basis, and in our case, with our church, we try to do it every spring, have a set of meetings where we focus on revival, getting back to the Christian life, being lived through us the way it ought to be lived. And I need to remind you that the only way to do that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. A news flash for all of us would be that Jesus is very good at living the Christian life. I hope you figured that out already. In fact, he is the author and the finisher of our faith, isn't he? He is the one that really defined what the Christian life is. If we could all live like Christ lived, in truth, not just in our imagination what we think he would live, but if we would really and truly live our lives the way Jesus would, if he were in our shoes, then we would have a revived life, wouldn't we? Well, the good news is that we have Jesus Christ living within us. In the form of the Holy Spirit of God, he lives within us. That Spirit of God is even called in the New Testament the Spirit of Christ, which means it's the Spirit that he gave. It is the Spirit that, by the way, enabled him to live a perfect life, and it also enables you to live the Christian life the way that you should. So we need to get focused back on that. And again, I'm thankful that Dr. Flanders is planning to be with us. I believe that he has a good understanding on what that Christian life is about and what it means to walk in the Spirit. So we're looking forward to having him coming. But in Ezekiel 37, we find a passage of Scripture that has to do with revival. Now, this passage of Scripture here specifically is talking about a revival of the nation of Israel. And it is a promise that God will once again bring life to the nation of Israel. And I don't believe he's just talking about physical life. I believe he's talking about spiritual life to the nation of Israel. One of the encouraging things about this chapter, by the way, is the fact that this has not happened yet. Therefore, it is important for you and for me to remember that God is not yet done with Israel. Don't ever believe anybody who tells you that God has set Israel aside and that Israel no longer is important and that the church has replaced Israel. That is a lie. God is going to work again in the nation of Israel in a wonderful, glorious way. And I believe he's even preparing many of those things as we speak. But in the meantime, we're going to make an application from Ezekiel 37, not just to the nation of Israel. I believe there is a secondary application that we can make to our life spiritually and maybe even our church corporately. So let's look at Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. We'll stop right there. I read that last verse because I want you to see this primary application is to the house of Israel, obviously, but I believe there is an application to you and me. Can you picture the prophet Ezekiel being taken by the hand of the Lord, carried in the spirit of the Lord, set down in the midst of a valley, and as that prophet looks across that valley, the valley is full of, according to his own words, very many bones that are in this valley. Now, they're not just any bones. They're very dry bones. Can you picture that? Have you ever seen a skeleton in the desert? Hopefully, you've not seen a human skeleton in the desert. If you have, you let me know about that, all right? Just know that I might call the police on you. But all joking aside, I can remember living in, again, Arizona. And the area of Arizona where we lived was open range, which means that the cattle were just allowed to wander wherever they wanted to, which included on our property, and they loved our little swimming pool that we had. And that was always a blast, trying to keep the cattle from drinking all of the water in our swimming pool. It was good, fun times for the Weisses. But every once in a while, the kids and I would take a hike through the desert. We'd go to different places. And at least one time, a couple of different times, I believe, we found some skeletons of some cattle that had died in the wilderness. Since it's open range, they're allowed to wander everywhere. And they died and they laid down wherever, and the animals had picked away the skin, and the bones were what I would call very dry. And think about what bones do, by the way. Bones not only provide structure for your body, but bones are the source that God has given you within your body to create your blood cells. And so they need to be very moist to do anything and any good. These bones are so dead, if you can be any different degree of dead, I don't know. But these bones are so dead that they are considered very dry. In other words, there's not life in them anymore. It's not that they were bones from somebody who died recently and the meat was taken off of them and they were just laid there. No, these were bones that had been laying there for a while. And the prophet is taken in the spirit of the Lord to this valley. He sees very many bones, and those bones are very dry, and a question is asked. And the question is, can these bones live? That's in verse number 3. Now, God is asking the prophet, can these bones live? Why did God ask that question? Because God wanted Ezekiel to give an answer, not so that God could be wiser, so that Ezekiel could be wiser. You see, God wanted Ezekiel to give the answer so that God could be glorified. And today, I want to speak to you just for a few moments, a little bit of time that we have, on the importance of revival from Ezekiel 37. Let's pray one more time, and then we'll get into it. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word to your people, especially about Ezekiel 37. Lord, thank you for the promises that you are able to do great things, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, dear Lord, I pray that your hand of blessing would be on us as we talk about revival and the need for us to have revival. Please help us, dear Lord. Guide me and give all of us ears to hear and understanding hearts in Jesus' name. And for his sake, I pray, amen. All right, so in this passage of Scripture, I want to ask just three questions as we look through this, okay, about the importance of revival from Ezekiel 37. The first question is this: is this passage applicable to you and me? The second question is it possible for God to do with us what he did with these dry bones? And the third question is, what ingredients are necessary for God to do with us what he did with the bones in Ezekiel 37? Let's answer that first question. First of all, is it applicable? Is it possible that we could liken ourselves, our church, our own personal spiritual life to a valley full of dry bones? Well, friends, I'm not going to answer that question specifically for you, but I want to encourage you to answer that for yourself. Is it possible that in your life, as you look out at your life, and I'm not just talking about your personal life as in how you work in your job. I'm not talking about your family life or anything like that. I'm not talking about how people perceive you. But I'm saying when you are alone with God and in your heart of hearts, you're going to answer the question, am I a valley of dry bones or am I a spiritual body with life and great vivacity? What would be the answer? I'm afraid that many times, again, if we're honest, there are dry bones. And I'm not saying that we don't go through the motions because we're good at that. And it's not wrong to go through the motions. Sometimes it's right to just do what's right to do regardless of how you feel. In fact, it's always right to do that. We shouldn't do what's right or wrong based on our feelings. We should base our actions on what is right to do and to do that thing. So do what is right. But if that's all we ever get to, then we would have to say we're a valley of dry bones. By the way, the Pharisees did many right things, didn't they? Yet they were dry bones. Jesus even said that they were likened unto whited sepulchers. People could walk on top of them and say, wow, isn't that beautiful? But inside, they were full of dead men's bones. And it's possible that you and I could be the same way. That our spiritual life is dead. Let me ask you this morning, when you first awakened out of sleep and got out of your bed, did you, within the first short amount of time, sometime very soon, did you get into God's Word? When you got up this morning, very soon after getting up, did you spend any amount of time in prayer? Did you speak with God very soon after getting up? Did you have a time with God at all today? And if so, what was it like? Was it fresh and new? Or was it dry and dead? Was it like a newly married couple who's spending time together? You remember what that was like when you were newly married? Remember that freshness in the relationship, the enjoyment of just being together? I can remember when my wife and I were first married, I can remember getting off of work and I worked a second shift and I wanted to see her and I rushed home from work to be able to see her and spend time with her. Sometimes on my breaks, I would even, if I had a longer break, I would rush home. I didn't live too far from the place of work and I would rush home to be able to spend just a few moments with my wife. And then after a while, when we'd been married for a while, you know, that freshness just wasn't there like it had been before. And you know, it's not that there was a hatred, certainly never been in that situation. But you know, we've had times where it just was routine. And all of you married couples I know can relate if you've been married for any length of time. You know, after a while, it's just routine. And you know that many times our Christian walk is even much worse than that. It's not only routine, it's non-existent sometimes. That's a valley full of dry bones. What is your spiritual life like? Are you burdened to tell people about the Lord? Is it something that is fresh on your mind, fresh on your lips, to want to speak up for Christ and say how good He has been to you and how great God has been? If not, then this would definitely be applicable to your life and even to mine as well. The second question that I want to answer here tonight is what God did with the Valley of Dry Bones here, is it possible with you and me? If our life is a spiritual valley of dry bones, can God do with us
what he did with these dry bones. Let's look at what God did. As God asked the question of Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel, by the way, in my opinion, was very wise. He just answered with another question or a statement that was a statement of God, you know. Verse number 4, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Skip down to verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. I wonder what that noise sounded like. I believe it was probably a noise of wind. I'm just guessing, but there was definitely a mention of the breath of God being the one to do the work. I believe it was probably the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is often likened to a wind, but I can't guarantee that. Whatever it was some noise. And I would like to know, what did that sound like? God didn't tell us, it's just a noise. But I do know that after the noise, there was a shaking. Can you picture the ground shaking and the bones on top of the ground starting to bounce up and down? There was a shaking, and all of a sudden, the bones start to come together. They're shaking and they're just bouncing up and down on the ground, and all of a sudden, one bone connects to the proper bone that it should be in. A leg bone goes into a hip bone, and then there would be an ankle bone and all the rest. And some of you are thinking of a very good song right now, right, Brother Pritchett? That's right, but the shaking and the bone comes together to bone, and all of a sudden then, verse number 8, and I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. Where did the sinews and the flesh come from? I don't know, but God did form us from the ground. So perhaps God, again, this is a vision, I believe. So God probably just had them come from the ground. But regardless of where they came from, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. The skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So suddenly they come together, but there's no life. By the way, friends, many times that's where we are spiritually. Maybe we're not a valley of dry bones. Maybe God has brought us together and we've sensed that there's something more and we need something more. And we recognize that God expects some things of us and we've begun to do the right things. And again, you should do the right things. And you're in church all the time. And when you can't be in church, you're sitting at home on a Wednesday night watching the live stream of the service. And you're sending in your tithes. And you're witnessing to your neighbors and all of that. But there's no life behind it. It's just dead action. And you're like that body that's there. The bones are there. The sinews are there. The skin, the flesh is all there. But there's no breath. Well, God doesn't end there. Verse number 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. God took those dry bones, created them, formed them, put them together in the right place, put sinews and flesh and skin upon them, gave them breath. They stood up, and they were now useful to do God's work. And that's what we need. Here's the question we're trying to answer. Can God do that with us? And the answer is, O God, thou knowest. The answer is yes. Many times we doubt, just like the prophet doubted. Can you hear the doubt in his mind as God asks him, O son of man, or son of man, can these bones live? And his answer was not, absolutely, God, if you want them to, absolutely. His answer was much like our answer is when we think about, could I ever be revived? Can my life change? Can it be anything different than it is? I know I'm doing the right things. I know I have the outward motions, but I don't know if it can ever be fresh and new and alive again. I don't know if I can ever have that revived life. Many times we would answer just like the prophet and say, O Lord God, thou knowest. And I want you to understand here this evening, I think all of us need to understand that the answer should be a resounding yes. God, you can do it. These bones can live. Yes, God, my spiritual life can be a life of living, a life of abundant living. And if we ask it about our church, Lord, can our church ever be more than it is now? And the answer is a resounding yes. Not just, oh Lord God, thou knowest. The answer is yes, God can do it. If he can do it physically, then he can do it spiritually as well. Let me get to the third question, and that is this. First one was, is it applicable to us? Yes. Is it possible? Yes. The third question, what ingredients are necessary? If you're going to cook a recipe, it is helpful to have all the right ingredients. Well, what ingredients are necessary for this recipe to happen? Number one, you have to have dry bones. The dry bones have to be there. Well, we have that, don't we? We have people. We have people who recognize, listen, I have a problem. I need spiritual life. I'm not standing against God necessarily, but I'm not living gung-ho for God either. And I have dry bones. That's the number one and first ingredient that's necessary. The second ingredient is this. You need to have an all-powerful God. And we have that as well. The same God who, by the way, was the creator of these bones, he was able to create them, to put them together, that shaking of the ground, that sound that was made, the sinews coming up, the flesh and the skin, the breath breathing upon them, that was nothing for God. He's the creator of all the earth, and as I believe, again, it's Jeremiah who said, O Lord God, there is nothing too difficult for thee. And that's the same true for you and me. God is able. And I want you to understand, as God looks out at America, this is my personal belief, that God is able to give us life in the United States of America. Now, I don't know whether or not it will happen. I can't guarantee anything, but I don't see anywhere in God's Word where God says it cannot happen here. God has done amazing things in the past. Remember what God did through Jonah with Nineveh. If God can do that with Nineveh, he can do it with the United States of America. Could God send us another great awakening? Early on in our nation's history, before we even really became a nation, there was the Great Awakening. Many years later, I believe about 120 years later, if I'm not mistaken, might be different than that, we had a second Great Awakening. And you know, it is possible that God could send a third. When you read reports about what the status of our country was like, what the spiritual life was like all those many years before, you realize that when those great awakenings came, you know that the spiritual life was just about dead at that time. You remember, before our country became what it is today, before we had the Bill of Rights and those things, you remember that our Baptist forefathers were persecuted in this nation, and yet God sent a great awakening to this nation even in that time, even with that sin going on, even with the fallacy and the heresy of baptismal regeneration being taught and Baptists being persecuted for not agreeing with baptismal regeneration, those things, God still sent a great awakening and did something marvelous. And God can do it again. Even in the time of slavery, when slavery was still an issue, and by the way, a great sin, a blight upon our land, a wicked, ungodly thing going on in our nation in great amounts, and yet, you know, even in that time, God sent a great awakening at that time. You know, we have sin now, don't we? Major sin. We have abortion. Oh, how abortion is a sin. Wicked, ungodly sin. The lasciviousness of our society. I'm not just talking about homosexuality. I mean every kind of perversion, every kind of just taking something that is a wonderful blessing from God within a marital relationship and turning it into something that is ridiculous and garbage and just a way to please oneself. That is definitely rampant in our society, and it is a great sin. But you know that God is able to do great things in our country. And listen, God is able to do great things in your life. We need an all-powerful God, and He is all-powerful. He's able to do great things in our church. Then let me give you the third ingredient that's necessary. The first one's dry bones. The second one is an all-powerful God. And the third one is a prophesying servant. One of the interesting things of this whole story is that God did not just on his own snap his fingers, say a word, and all of a sudden the bones came together. And then later on, when the flesh and the sinews and the skin was there, God didn't all of a sudden put breath in them all on his own. Now, could God have done that? Yes, God is able. But you know what God chose to do? He chose to include a prophesying servant. Here's what he says to Ezekiel. He says, verse 4, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. All right, so the first part is, all right, Ezekiel, your job is to say, listen to God's word. Then later on, when the bones are together, the sinews, the skin, the flesh, he says in verse number 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. There was a prophesying servant that was there. That was part of the ingredient. Now think about what prophesying is. I talked about this with the Academy students this morning in our Facebook Live chapel that we had. Prophesying is not just telling the future. There is some of that involved. It is not even saying what happened in the past necessarily, or even what has going to happen or is happening in the present. What prophesying is speaking for the Lord. When God says, prophesy such and such, the man of God gets up and says, thus saith the Lord, breathe on them, O breath of God. Okay? The man of God says, thus saith the Lord, bones, you're going to come together. I'm going to lay sinews and flesh and skin upon you, and you're going to have breath in you. Thus saith the Lord. That's prophesying. And one of the ingredients that we need is men and women of God who will speak the word of God. We need this book to get back to a place of prominence. That means that if I want revival in my life, I've got to get into the book. The prophesying, the word of God, speaking the words of God. For me personally, that might mean reading it. That might mean listening to good Bible-based preaching. That might be just letting someone else read it to me. That might be meditating on the Word of God. There are all kinds of things. But the Word of God plays a vital part in revival. You cannot have revival outside of God's holy Word. But also, then what we need is not just for ourselves personally, but for a church. If we want revival, we need the preaching of God's Word. Other things are certainly good. Music is wonderful. God uses that. Prayer is essential, and we need that. But you know, nothing can replace God's Word. And so where are you with God's Word? The dry bones are there. An all-powerful God is already part of the recipe. He's there. Sometimes what's missing is the prophesying servant. And by the way, let me say this about prophecy. Prophecy requires faith. Not perfect faith, but faith at least like the grain of a mustard seed. Faith that would at least say, God, it's hard for me to understand it, but at the same time, you said it, therefore I'm going to agree with you that your word says, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. God, I agree with you, I believe your word. God, you said you are the God that answers prayer. God, you said in your word that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God, you've said in your word that we have not because we ask not. And when we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lusts. But Lord, you told me to ask, and so I'm going to ask. And we go on and on and on. And so, Lord, I believe it's your will that I get revival. And so, Lord, I believe you. You can do it, and I'm asking you to do it. And I'm looking to your word, expecting you to bring me life and revival. And friends, that's what it's going to take. Those ingredients are necessary. And so tonight, revival considered from Ezekiel 37. Do you have a life of dry bones? There is hope, my friend. There is hope if you'll allow those three ingredients to be involved. You, an all-powerful God, and the prophecy, God's word. God will bring you revival. Get into this book, meditate on it, think on it,
and let it become your life. And listen, that means sacrificing other things, doesn't it? But let this book be your life, and God will give you revival. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word to your people. Now, dear Lord, we need your help. Would you give us a love for your word, and would you draw us to your word? Lord, show us the enemies in our lives personally that stand between us and your word, and change us. And Lord, give us a love for your word like we've never had before. And Lord, I pray that you would even give us a hatred for the things of the world that stand in the way of us getting into your book and reading it, meditating on it, and having that prophecy that we need for revival. And then, Lord, I see in your word that the prophecy that you gave to Ezekiel was that you were going to do great things. You were going to take those bones, put them together, put everything that they needed on them, give them breath. You were going to do that. The second prophecy was telling your breath to breathe on them. And so, Lord, I pray that your word would do the same for us, that we could see in your word great things that you promised you would do, and definitely that we would see the commands that you gave, that your spirit would inhabit us and fill us and all those things. Lord, let them be real to us today. Lord, start with me, but work through every one of us. Lord, whatever it takes, we need revival. Please give it to us for Jesus' sake. Humble us and exalt our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.